I was speaking the other night to our brother Sam Collins at length here after the committee meeting, and we're speaking about children's meetings and Sunday school and so on. And we would love to see many more in at these meetings, but what a very special work it is if the Lord gives you an opportunity to work with the boys and girls. Whether it is driving the bus and bringing them in, or it's actually teaching the word to them, and as they get a bit older, seeking to teach them doctrine from the Bible, those fundamental truths that you hope will stay with them for the rest of their lives. What a blessing it can be to them, and how important it is that we would seek to instill in the children a love for the place of worship and a love for coming along to worship the Lord in accordance with His will. But you notice here that worship was something which was widespread in Egypt. Now, Pharaoh was quite a religious person. Sacrifices would have been presented to their gods. They had all kinds of gods in Egypt. And of course, there were idols. But he was one who could identify with a person who wanted to worship. But you will see there that they wanted to go out into the desert, into the wilderness, and to worship there. This should not have seemed such an unusual place, because God did appoint His people certain places for worship. And it's important to notice there in verse 1 as well that the request was actually coming from the Lord. It was something which the Lord had instructed these men to say. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. In other words, that they might go and worship me in accordance with the way that I would have them to worship. It was a very, very reasonable request. And doing that, brethren and sisters, is something which you and I could very, very easily take for granted. There are parts of the world today where you cannot do that. There are parts of the world today where you used to be able to do it and you can't do it now. And again, we don't seek to be the bearer of gloomy tidings all the time, but the day could come in Northern Ireland, perhaps not that far away, when you won't be able to do this. Certainly not with the freedom that we do now. And that day may well come when it will be vital that our boys and girls or our grandchildren can call to remembrance the things they heard in Sunday school concerning worship. The importance of being able to worship the Lord in freedom, and in worship, to worship Him in accordance with His will. Well, that is really just almost by way of introduction, the reasonableness of this request. It was a reasonable thing that they asked for, but as we come to the core of the message here, notice the carefulness of Moses and Aaron. You notice there, of course, Pharaoh is on the defensive right away. In verse 2, he says, who's the Lord? Plenty of people in this country seem to react in that way these days. Who is the Lord? By their failure and their neglect of coming to God's house at all, coming to missions and so on. Who is the Lord? Would seem to be the response from so many of them. But notice there in verse 3, they say, the God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with the pestilence or with the sword. They repeated the request. These men who, I'm sure there was fear and trepidation there as they went to Pharaoh, but these men were not going to be easily put off. They set their heart to do that at what the Lord wanted them to do. In fact, their sole aim at this time was to get the message through to Pharaoh that here is what the Lord says. And he refused them. They say, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And then they say it again, let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert. Brothers and sisters, how easy it is to flee away when the work of God becomes difficult. I'll tell you instances of even on the mainland when people didn't really appreciate you being a Christian when you wouldn't get involved in ecumenical meetings, as we wouldn't do first went to England, got loads of invitations to all kinds of things and wouldn't go to any of them. And then people begin to look upon you as something which they do not really want to be associated with. Why? Because you're standing, you're different from them. Why? Because you are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. And it can be very, very easy to let the shield down a bit. It can be very, very easy to compromise and to think, well, should nobody see me if I go along here? Or maybe by going along here, I'll become a little bit influential, and somehow or other I will persuade these people to come to my meetings. That is not the way the Bible teaches us to evangelize. But you'll see here that Moses and Aaron were very, very careful. They came to him again with the same message. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert. Now, we see here in these men a great determination. What is your determination and conviction and aim? Well, Paul over there in 1 Corinthians, I'll read it to you, you needn't turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And there's so many avenues of thought here in this chapter that we would never cover it all in one day. Paul says there in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, to turn unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." People, as I've said many a time, are all different in churches, but different in their position in the work, different in their tastes and various things in life. But let's be like Paul, who said, "I determined to know nothing among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." May the Lord help us to have the conviction and the determination that these men had. When this great man of great power said to them, "Who is the Lord?" I'm not letting them go. And they turned around and said to him again, "The Lord's met with us, let us go." There was determination there. And I draw your attention to several thoughts here regarding that. These men knew God's will at the time. They knew God's will at the time. God's will for them at that time was that they would go to Pharaoh with this message. And God's will for us at this time is that we go out to men and women with the message, be it broadcast from the pulpit or over the radio station or around the doors. His will for us is that we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or as it really means, every creature capable of receiving it. That is God's will for us. And Moses and Aaron stood there knowing that they were the Lord's spokesmen. They knew their frailties, their limitations and their weaknesses, but they knew that the one who sent them was Almighty. And the one who sends you, Christian, are coming up soon to another mission, and there will be outreach, there will be inviting of families, there will be many things that need to be done, and the Lord needs spokesmen and women. Spokesmen and women who will go and will seek to try to gain ground for the Lord, who will go and speak to families. Those who will be able to go on outreach. Indeed, those who preach, myself and the Mr. Martin, God willing, that we will have that message and we know that this is God's word for now. This is God's will for now. Also, we can say regarding these people here that their eyes were continually on the Lord. They recognized here, I'm sure, that there was considerable danger for them in going to this man with this message and even repeating it when he had made it clear that he wasn't going to let them go. You see, serving the Lord and following the Lord's will does not mean there's no difficulties. Over there in 1 Samuel, reading quite recently in my own study about Jonathan, 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's a great passage. 1 Samuel 14 says there, and Jonathan said in verse 6, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." You see, Moses and Aaron, just like Jonathan on this occasion, had to, if you can understand the expression, they had to look beyond what they could physically see. Jonathan here, he knew that there's a great number in the Philistine camp. Aaron and Moses knew they were looking into the face of the king of Egypt, a man who could have had their head at the drop of his hand. And yet they knew that it was the Lord's will for them to go with the Lord's message at that time. Now, if you read there in 1 Samuel 14, it says in verse 14, that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, an half acre of land with which a yoke of oxen might plough. You study that chapter at home yourself, you will find encouragement from it. It is nothing to the Lord to see it by many or by few. And as you and I go out with the message of the gospel, whether men want to receive it or not, we must keep our eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord and be determined that we will not be sidetracked. Moses and Aaron weren't going to be easily put off at this time. They were very, very careful. Look at what they said to him there in verse 3. They were not disrespectful in their speaking to him. They said to him, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go into the desert, we pray thee, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." And if you read the verses all there, you will see that, well, they had good manners. You see, Pharaoh would not accept their message, but he could not fault their conduct. And brethren, that is important. It is very important that you and I stick to the fundamentals of God's word and that we do not compromise. But if people look upon us and they say, "Well, there's a man or there's a people," and there's nothing in them but arrogance, there's nothing winsome about them, they think they're stern, they're just know-alls, then they'll not be interested. And on the other hand, if you do compromise, you will not win people in God's way either. But we are to be winsome. And this is the important thing here about Moses and Aaron at this time, the winsomeness of these men. They were his spokesmen. The Lord had sent them. He sent them with a very reasonable request. The Lord sends you out to reach men and women with the message of the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. That is a very reasonable invitation to men and women to turn to the Savior. But how you and I need to be careful. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. Here's an example of this in action, really. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word," that is, if they're not Christians, "they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives." Sitting at a table one time at a wedding reception, the man beside it, I had never met him before, and he was talking to me, and he said, "Oh," he says, "I was converted through the life of my wife and her friend. I was converted through the life of my wife and her friend. How important it is, brethren and sisters. Yes, we do not compromise. We stick to God's word. But how easy it is to put people off. I can think of several instances I know of where people, and I've no doubt in their heart, they meant to do the right thing. But they chased people away, and those people would never come back through the way that they conducted themselves. There needs to be that winsomeness. We don't have time this morning, but look at Nehemiah chapter 2 in your own time. Do you remember Nehemiah went to the king? He was the king's cupbearer, and he asked for favor. He asked to be released to go to Jerusalem, and then he asked for people to escort him to keep him safe. Then he asked for the timber that he needed for construction work and so on. And all of those things, he didn't get those all because he was an arrogant, self-centered know-all. He got those things because he had a good reputation and a good testimony before the king, and the Lord gave him favor in the sight of the king. We sometimes think, well, perhaps we think if the Lord gives us favor, well, the Lord can give us favor. It says in the word, of course, that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. But we need to make sure that our ways are pleasing the Lord, that our ways are pleasing him. There was carefulness here. And as you and I go out as God's spokesmen and spokeswomen, I need to ask the Lord, help me to be careful. Yes, sometimes people come out with things and you'd love, in your own heart, you really would feel like biting back. You think, well, that's awful to say that about the word of God or about another Christian or whatever. And you should stand up for the word of God in some degree, but we need to be very careful. Because, as someone said to me many, many years ago, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Notice something else here about these men. Not only the reasonableness of their request and their carefulness in their request, but regarding them being spokesmen, the people had to respond positively. Now Moses and Aaron, their request required some specific things of the people. It says, "Let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." They needed to know that the people were going to do this. And of course, joy was always associated with the feasts there. A festival was an occasion of great joy. And worship for us should be a joyous thing. It should be a joyful thing to come along to the house of the Lord. Over there, and we're running out of time here radically, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, I read it for you, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice." But then look at this verse in the context. It's in the context of, look at verse 2. Eudeus and Syntyche, who had been obviously at odds with each other, they were asked here to be of the same mind in the Lord. In verse 5, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. Be careful for nothing," verse 6, or "be over anxious for nothing," and so on. In other words, when you tend to be over anxious, when you tend to have disagreements among yourselves, when you tend to have your eyes on things rather than on the Lord, and when you tend to go your own way, not letting your moderation be known unto all men, then your rejoicing in the Lord will be affected. Your rejoicing in the Lord will be affected. And how important it is we take this on board, that the Lord would have us come to Him and rejoice that we're able to come to Him. And the people here who had many, many difficulties, they were to do this. It also would involve sacrifice. There in verse 3 it says that they would go and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest He fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Now true worship revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave the ultimate sacrifice for all those who would come and put their faith and trust in Him. And the message of the sacrifices here was the shedding of blood for man's sins. And practically, on a practical level for us as God's spokesmen and women, it will be necessary to sacrifice energy, to sacrifice our means, to sacrifice our time in order to worship the Lord aright. And this was something that was going to involve all of the people. It went beyond Moses and Aaron now. They were the spokesmen. But they needed to bring the people along with them. Verses 1 and 3, if you read them carefully, you'll see that they wanted absolutely nothing to do with the worship that was practiced in Egypt. Moses and Aaron wanted nothing to do with it, and they had to bring the people along with them. Now it's worth remembering that some of the people had fallen into the ways of the Egyptians. And you and I, as God's spokesmen, as we go out for the Lord to witness for Him and try to win others to Him, we have to be careful, yes. We have to make sure that we do not compromise and yet be careful at the same time. But it's much more than a minister's responsibility. We need the whole congregation. Because we're all involved in this work, and we're all those who want to worship the Lord and ought to be wanting to worship the Lord. And I know that some people look upon us today and say, "Oh, you're legalists, you're very standoffish," and they say a lot of other things if you won't be involved in their kind of worship. But that changes nothing as far as the Bible teaching is concerned. How important it was that Israel would worship the Lord. For He demands at the end of verse 3, "Lest He fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." There had to be that fear among them, or that reverence, as the word really means. I've run out of time, but I just want to mention briefly here something in finishing, thinking about the requirement from the people. That fear of the Lord would bless them greatly. If you read the book of Proverbs yourself, read Proverbs 14 and 27, you'll see that the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, leads to spiritual growth. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, it leads to satisfaction. In Proverbs 22 and verse 4, it leads to great blessing. Proverbs 3 and 7, holiness. Proverbs 1 and 7, guidance. And all of these things the Israelites would know if they would get behind Moses, as it were, and Aaron, and they would put their shoulder to the wheel, and they would worship the Lord as best they knew how. Brethren and sisters, there's barrenness all around us. But the Lord has still given us the opportunity to be a spokesman and a spokeswoman. And I trust in these days, and especially as we look forward towards another mission, that the Lord will enable us to be like Moses, that we will be steadfast, that we will be careful, and that, as we've mentioned in this last point, that we will be together as we seek to labour together for the Lord. May the Lord help us in these days to be his spokesmen and spokeswomen.